Welcome to another edition of Technology Bites here on 90.1 FM.
Arr, this is VJ Lee.
My headphones.
Thanks for that, Lickton. Nice.
Zomji, it's Peter Hughes.
Hold still while I draw in a vein.
Yes, there's no throbbing veins in the studio tonight. Jay is in the sewery cesspools of Venice, seeing the beautiful, No, he's in Venice. That was an editorial comment on the story.
He's taking pictures of puddles. He said he's having
with
his own
tripod.
Renaissance. Yeah, I think like reflections. I think it rained there, so he's taking all these pictures. Yeah, it sounded super hot.
So now he's getting all American.
Yeah, this is funny. Like, a couple of weeks ago, it was the same way. Your mic was like really hot, and then I realized that somebody turned the gain all the way up on your mic. Same thing tonight.
Now I can't hear myself, though. Before I was like the
you know, I wondered why Barrett was lurking around in the studio before the rest of us got in.
Turn my mic up.
Trying to sound all Barry away. Anyways, well, as this amateur intro as always, well, not, well, more
every
amateurs than
intro
usual.
Intro is amateur.
Yeah, but
amateurs are us.
The show is off the rails earlier. Dwight was insulting my mama, I think, or he mentioned something about my mom.
No.
He was talking about my mama before
wow.
I even showed up via email.
No,
he said she wouldn't understand physical computing or something like that.
What?
No, <it's... laughs>
you wouldn't understand.
And there was something about karaoke and...
I was making... I have a Sunday story, and I wanted to reference Arduino, but in one sentence explain what it is. And so I was emailing Barrett, who's Mr. Arduino, trying to figure out how to explain it to an audience without doing three paragraphs. And I think I came up with it. I was going to call it, what did I want to call it?
Roboticists,
thing. Homebrew robotics.
Homebrew robotics. So my argument was that most robotics, they're using more expensive, faster stuff. They're using ARM. Arduino is so low power and so low anything, you don't really do that much with it like that along those lines.
So this is,
I pitched physical computing.
Change it to cheap, crappy homebrew robotics.
Yeah. And then he had to bring my mom in.
How did your mom get brought into it?
How about the Tandy 35-in-1 set of computing?
Well, he wanted me to call it physical computing, or what was the other?
Do-it-yourself electronics. Yeah, he said DIY electronics was too vague. But really, I mean, that's the whole thing. To really get your head around Arduino, it's like the underlying set of things you kind of have to already have your head around. It makes it kind of a tough barrier.
Pretty
so
much do-it-yourself electronics is probably...
I used homebrew electronics.
But there's homebrew electronics.
Yeah, isn't there also like programming involved? Don't you have to know?
Yeah, there's a multidisciplinary.
Right.
So Dwight's going to break down the bridges, though, and educate.
Hmm.
It's going to be cool.
So it's like home math electronics.
There you go. A little bit of that.
You got to have some textbooks and some smarts, or it's going to all blow up.
It's like bathtub electronics. So like bathtub gin.
I've done that. They short out. I don't advise.
All right. Well, you may have guessed already that you are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston, and this show is Technology Bites. I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's...
Drew Vowse.
Very good, Barrett.
I stepped out. You got to do it next time, Pete, though. That's you. Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't know if I stepped on your toes, but there was an uncomfortable microsecond.
I was pointing at Pete because I was like, and Pete's going to say,
next time. But next time, Pete won't be in the studio, so we won't have that visual.
So the whole point thing will work great.
Mess it up right.
There'll be this long 5-second pause, and you wonder what we dumped.
He also won't be at the Geek Gathering, which we have this Friday at Coffee Grounds. Yeah.
I'll be closer to it than Jay will.
Yeah, that's
as,
true.
That counts. Jamie pointed
and
out.
I'll be closer to it than you will.
you can, but that's Barrett time, too. The surprise.
I won't mention that.
Although, if people know, they know what we're going to say Friday is.
It's also... No Pants Day at Valhalla.
Ooh.
Friday?
Yeah.
But every day was
if
No
you
Pants
can find
Day.
It.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. Let's see. What's the usual info? 90.1 FM. We're in Houston.
IRC.
We have IRC. Pound Tech Bites at irc.cuckoo.com. You can go to our website, www.geekradio.com. There's all kinds of stuff there. There's always a clever graphic to induce you to go to the Geek Gathering.
Yes.
So go look at that. You can listen to past shows. That also works if you're like wanting to prove that one of us was like actually on the show.
You can listen to the BBC still, I think.
Oh, vaguely in the left ear.
We have a Facebook page.
I can't.
We've got Flickr. We've got...
We're on the Twitters. Do we have a Tumblr? I don't think...
What's your Twitter account, Peter?
Geek Mouth,
that's right.
Do we have a Pinterest?
Ooh, we're going to leave that to Jay Lee.
That's right.
Yeah.
Unless Dwight, you want to take that up?
I've pinned some wedding dresses on
Jay Lee's got the ketchup account.
Right. Right. I think we all got invited.
As he told everybody.
So, let's see. I'm sure we missed all kinds of stuff, but too bad. You know, it's like... It's a different show. It's a whole...
We're broadcasting a missing geek formation.
Yeah,
many different casts.
We're broadcasting also, missing wattage formation.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess evidently the station's still pretty gimpy.
Right.
Quarter mass.
In other words, there's more wattage in the light bulbs in the studio than there is out on the tower.
If we unscrew the red bulb, will that broadcast further?
No, somebody will just forget to turn it back, screw it back in.
Okay.
Improve your sound. There's all these great new signs and stuff that I haven't seen since last time. At home, I have to just look at my office, which I've already looked at all day.
And the dogs. And the kids.
And listen to the dogs. That has gone way down, you may have noticed. They're no longer in the same room as me during the show. So
yeah, I think we got too close to getting Peter Hughes bingos.
We did. We came close a lot.
The killer is not knowing, on the other end of the line, it's not knowing how long the pause is. Because I can tell that, somebody says something and then you speak up, and I can tell that somebody else had already started talking, but that it sounds like I'm like jumping over them when I do it. And it's one thing from San Antonio, and then you can actually tell there's more distance when I'm in El Paso.
Uh-huh.
I can tell there's like a longer, you can hear that extra half second.
That's because they send the data over barbed wire fences.
Actually, they send it over the border into Mexico, and then it's hand carried down the coast for much less than it costs to actually use electricity.
But, maybe you need a bell. We'll give you a bell, and every time you want to say something, you just ring the bell, and then we'll know you're going to talk.
Yeah,
we'll let you wait your thing all the way over here.
Perfect.
Seems legit.
Either that, or we need to take all the stuff from all the different microphones, including mine, and just delay it all, and so it's kind of at random. We can have that sort of trippy 60s.
There you go.
Kind of in and out.
I'll put everybody else in the right channel, and I'll put you in the left channel. And that way you won't step on each other.
It'll be like
Pink Floyd radio.
Or that, what was it, Time Code, where they had the like four movies going at the same time and they were all singing.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't watched it, but I saw the previews for it.
It's very good. It's very good.
Yeah, it was only out in like 2002 or something.
And then straight to DVD.
A long time
ago. Or like whoever recently on, was it Vimeo or YouTube, put the first two seasons of Star Trek, the original series, all in one screen, all running at the same time, with all of the audio at the same time. So, you could catch up on your Star Trek really quickly.
Those internets, what will they come up with next?
My Vulcan ears.
That had to be on Pinterest like that. All right, well, you can take a break from knitting your iPad cozies and such for tonight's show, which, like I said, you can call in and gripe about whatever we didn't tell you in the intro, and that's fine, too. But I guess first we have to go to San Antonio, figure out I'm not there, come back and do the news, or...
Or the fake Jay Lee could ask.
Take it away, Pete.
That's not asking.
Oh. I was pointing at Flicked. I was looking at Flicked. I was staring intently at Flicked. Did you do the
we clearly the whole hand-eye coordination thing is just
intro into the news.
He asks.
Well, he doesn't ask. I didn't mean to throw out a an off thing, but intro into the news like Jay does. Jay tells.
Let's see. What does he say? I have to think about it here for just a second.
Shiver me timbers, we're blasting off for...
Jay's a pirate. Jay's a pirate.
What does he say?
He says...
And now...
Let's send it to San Antonio for the technology
rights
infrastructure.
Oh, no, it's Baritone. Yeah,
but you got to say it like Bobcat Goldthwait.
How do we not know this?
Goes,
we need a Jay
and now it's time for Barrett time.
Oh, no,
he does that pause in there. Right. That's not the
But you're too early
pause
for that.
That refreshes.
That's because he's Homebrew Robotics. Every time is the same time.
Anyways, we could just hit the button and just go bull on.
All right. Now let's go to San Antonio with Peter Hughes and the Technology Bytes news. Take it away, Peter. It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
I don't know. What I'm thinking is before the end of this drive or this time period where Jay's not here, we need the Jay Lee soundboard. Somebody needs to set
I was going to do that. I was going to talk to Flicked. I will program the web interface if you can get the sound bites farmed out. We're going to go through. Yes.
All right. Well, now we know we're really in the future because, you know, anybody looking forward to maybe seeing the Avengers? Apparently today... The press screening was delayed because they, quote, accidentally deleted the movie. Oops. Can you imagine how long that takes to download one of those and get it to your machine?
We're using BitTorrent right now.
And there came a day unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest heroes and heroines found themselves united against a common threat. And on that day, the Avengers were deleted. Yes, the copy of the film being used for a screening was accidentally wiped from the server and delayed a room full of angry nerds and film critics from seeing the Avengers assembled. How does something like that even happen? Apparently, it's very easy.
I think it's just a Windows machine, I think.
Slate asked Steve Krause, whom Roger Ebert has called one of the best projectionists in the nation. Krause said that it's as easy as deleting any important file from your computer. It's click to delete from the server and an are you sure confirmation, he explained over email. Yeah, so just sit for a minute. Just sit for a minute and imagine that delicious moment right after, you know, they clicked it. So then the thing comes up. And then that moment between when their fingers started pushing the button down and their brain screamed, no!
Wait a minute. Click. Can't they just remove it from the, or undelete it from the trash?
They're a trash can on most
Thankfully,
servers?
Thankfully, it was eventually resolved, but it set off a debate over the digital cinema packages that are replacing old-fashioned film reels. Without the move to digital, reasoning goes, you wouldn't be able to delete the movie you're supposed to be showing. That's a lot of headache for a process that's supposed to be as easy as creating a playlist and pressing play. Has anybody seen your grandmother create a playlist for her iPod? I think that some of them could wipe a drive with just to try to put their favorite songs on the playlist.
Who in that building doesn't know they're going to play that movie? You know?
Maybe the person named the file wrong as a joke.
Delete me. Dot move.
Gizmodo says, just keep reminding yourself of that the next time some slack-jawed teen wipes your local theater's only copy of Prometheus this summer. There'll be that. Then you'll see some angry nerds, and they're the kind of angry nerds that want to stand up to aliens. So watch it. It's none of this Thor prancing around BS. Anyways, for any of you Odin worshippers, well, whatever. Maybe instead of putting the movies on a disc, they could put them in the cloud. Amazon has outed its cloud drive desktop app, so the competition. The tough part is I grew up, and as probably many of our esteemed studio colleagues, where you managed your disk space. You know, you kind of knew how much you had, and you made sure you were keeping track of how much data you had and all that kind of stuff. Well, now with all these different cloud options, it's like, you know, it's that much harder to know. Can you imagine when you don't remember which cloud you stored your stuff if you used about four of them? And so the stuff's all over. Or that horrible going from one cloud client to the other because you're sure that file that must have been where you backed up whatever it was. On the plus side, it does seem to be getting easier, and they are making it simpler to store that stuff. Obviously, you have to go through your own kind of thoughts about if you want to put your data out there like that, or how available is it to others, and decide who to use, like Amazon or Google or Microsoft or Apple or Dropbox, or I'm sure there's some that have clever names that end in I or have some kind of missing letter, vowel missing in them somewhere too. But obviously it's moving pretty fast though. I'm waiting for when they keep battling for who can give away the most gigs free of their service. But so far, that particular price war hasn't happened. But Google, they don't stand on ceremony. Looking back at the past, they don't let things collect dust. They are famous for spring cleaning efforts when they get rid of redundant and dead-end projects, you know, like, what, Orkut or various other ones that some small group of people really liked and nobody else really cared, along with more bullish moves like pushing to overhaul DNS. Now Google is looking to replace HTTP. That would be a big move. I think that would be gutsy. With a new protocol known as SPDY, Speedy. And to that end, it's demonstrating the potential speed gains that one might expect on a mobile network. According to the company's benchmarks, mean page load times on a Galaxy Nexus are 23% faster with the new system. Their hypothesis is that further optimizations can be made for 3G and 4G networks. In other words, you know, part of the benefit, instead of just getting benefit of speeding it up, which obviously on your home machine you don't particularly care, but for mobile, getting more efficiency, that's time that you think about. When you're staring at your phone waiting for it to load the page, those are the longest seconds of all. At least that's what I've found. So they're hoping to optimize it more for 3 and 4G networks. To its credit, Google has already implemented Speedy in Chrome, and the same is true for Firefox and Amazon Silk. Apparently, even Microsoft appears to be on board. As a means to transition, the company proposes an Apache 2.2 module known as Mod Speedy, which allows web servers to take advantage of features such as stream multiplexing and header compression. As for HTTP, it's no doubt been a reliable companion, but it seems it'll need to work a bit harder to earn its keep. So we'll see what happens with that. That's going to be an interesting one. I would watch that with interest because that would really be the first time that a protocol, that a layer that the internet works on, was replaced with something else that does exactly the same function and is supposed to do it better. You know, it's not like they ripped out, you know, there's stuff that came and went, like Gopher and Usenet and that kind of stuff. But Usenet didn't get replaced with Speed Usenet that was some new, more efficient protocol. It just got superseded by its next thing, where this is just, I guess, pushing data across just the same as it does today, just better. So we'll keep an eye on that one. A week or two ago, I mentioned the thing about Liquid Metal you know, Apple using liquid metal, and so then it's Terminator jokes, the whole thing for the phone. Well, apparently, the only thing they've ever made of the liquid metal, so they bought this big company and made one thing out of liquid metal, which is the iPhone 3G SIM removal tool. So if you remember that little, like, that little funny-shaped piece of metal that you dropped when you got your new iPhone 3G, and you never knew what it was until it came time to, like, eject the SIM card on
I
your...
I think it still comes with the 4S. I think they still have it.
I got one.
Yeah, those are made out... I don't know if that's made out of liquid metal, though. Apparently, only the iPhone 3G SIM removal tool was made out of liquid metal. Apparently, though, Apple is unlikely to use the alloys as a major component for at least 2 to 4 years. The company may find uses for liquid metal alloys in minor capacities before that time, as it did with the SIM removal tool, but mass production on the scale needed for a full device casing is still some time off. This was according to Atakan Peeker, one of the inventors of the liquid metal alloys. So I'm betting that he's not going to, you know, if he was going to exaggerate that it would come sooner, I could understand that. But usually if you're the inventor and you know Apple has it and all that, then you would pretty much have a good idea of how close it was to the real world. And then here's in innovation in our new electronics. Anybody gotten themselves a, you know, Canon EOS 5D Mark III? Pretty serious camera. There's been some problems, though, about the LCD leaking light. So it was the light from the viewfinder was bleeding into affect the exposure readouts. Well, so apparently some of the cameras were sent in and repaired and came back. So they tore them apart to find out how they fixed the light leak. And apparently it was with a piece of black tape. They opened the thing up, put in a piece of tape that was the right size to cover the LCD area that would have spilled the light, and then it was done.
It's a real engineer right there.
But it was strategically placed tape.
There you
it
go.
Was
yes.
around certain components. And
so it's not like they just had some kid go, you know, just bash some tape in the... They didn't get it back, and the viewfinder was like had tape sticking, tape edges sticking out of it. But, I thought that was, you know, given what do those cameras run? They are not the cheapo like discount models.
$4,000 or something.
And so fixing it with you know, 7 cents worth of tape is pretty clever. I guess I hope they used really good tape so that then, you know, in about 6 weeks, it's not, like, slipping down into the viewfinder. You know, like if I fixed it with tape. And finally, on new stuff... Here's a big innovation. Verizon is making their way into home with the Home Fusion LTE to the home solution. Emphasis on solution. It started rolling out in early March and is now available nationwide. Verizon is hoping to expand its residential broadband footprint without running costly and ugly wires. The 5 to 12 megabits per second down and 2 to 5 megabits per second up speeds aren't going to beat fiber to the home, but it is faster than your average DSL. And of course, with this great innovation, would they like change the pricing or make it any easier than their LTE plans for your iPhone? No.
Data caps?
The plans start at $60 a month for 10 gigs of data and climb to $120 for 30 gigs, not to mention the $10 per gig overage fees. So I'm just trying to figure out what the circumstance would be where you go, you know, I want slightly faster than DSL, but I want to pay more than DSL, and I just don't want ugly wires around my house. That would be, and apparently whoever that one person is some kind of executive vice president at Verizon and came up with a new product. Or you could carry the neat little kind of bucket thing around with you and maybe get that extra 10 gigs out of your iPhone. Anyways, that's the news. Somewhere Jay
thanks
just
for
turned
that,
to,
Peter.
Somewhere Jay just turned to Cynthia and said that. Thanks for that. She's like,
it's late at night. He woke up in his sleep just for a half second, mumbled it, and then went back to bed.
So we actually had to sit and listen to the news, the whole thing. Usually we have to go to the bathroom.
No, I'm a fan of that. It's cool having you here for the news.
It is. It's very
much more animated.
Although you didn't mention the $99 Xbox that's coming next week.
What?
No, I saw the article and I didn't get a good chance to read it. So
The Verge is reporting that next week Microsoft is going to offer offer a $99 Xbox with a Kinect.
Wow.
Whoa.
But there's a catch. You pay a monthly subscription fee. You get the Xbox Live Gold membership. You sign a contract for 2 years, and you get this basic Xbox.
Do we know what the monthly fee is?
I think it's $15 a month.
That's not too
bad. Is it the standard Xbox Live kind of thing?
Yeah, Xbox Gold.
It
includes that.
And that's everything.
Yep. So the idea is obviously that they're trying to base it on the cell phone pricing model, but there is even a early termination fee. I don't know what that is,
wow.
But if you break the contract, you have to pay up.
I wonder what that adds up to over the long term. Is it
2 years times 24 months times 15?
Yeah.
Do the math.
You do the math and tell me.
Let me see. Do I have a calculator on this Mac?
I don't think I have a calculator on this old laptop.
Let's see.
I have Solitaire, though.
Now the
do we have a Windows 8 phone?
Let's see. 15.
The Xbox thing. Now, hearing that one, you kind of go, okay, well, I can see where they've got a model. But you know who should have thought of it and might have really done something well with it would have been like Sony with the PSP.
Like mobiles, yeah.
Because they've got a mobile device, and people would... I think they could think of that one where, you get the device for free, but you have to sign up for so much service.
That's probably coming down the pipe.
So it's $360.
Yeah, for $400 a year from Sony or whatever, where
right.
You can't afford it and won't buy it because it's more than it was worth when you bought the device yourself.
So it's $360. How much is, like, the high end?
It's like $299, I think.
Yeah.
You can get them for, like, $249, $299.
But you get 2 years of subscription, and that's the big deal here.
The subscription's, like, $60 a year.
Yeah. And you might get, like, 90 days free when you buy something. You might get 30 days, maybe.
I don't think you get very much gold for free.
Yeah. I'm thinking Microsoft is also probably thinking, they've got your attention for 2 years because you're paying them.
Right. And, you know, you can do Netflix. There's a lot of online stuff. It's pretty cool. You can stream your music from your Windows machines.
So is the $299 with the Kinect?
There are some deals out there, but I think that's the basic.
I haven't seen it with the Kinect. Yeah, the Kinect still goes for like upwards of $100 on its own.
Yeah, but there are combo deals that you can get.
Yeah.
The other thing we missed last week that Flick had brought up after the show was the whole DNS issue. I think, is that July? When is that? July 9th?
Actually, I think Groovehouse. I mean, I don't remember whom. Somebody mentioned it on.
I said it's July 9th.
I said that I saw it. And then I said, why is it that we didn't talk about this during the show and instead just talked about music we don't like? Whose stupid idea was that?
We've got more music we don't like coming at you tonight. But yes, the deal is there was like a ring of rogue DNS servers that have been taken over by like bot herders and by other nasty people around the web. And the FBI, tell me if I'm wrong on this, the FBI got into it and actually figured out which ones they were.
And they shut them down.
Well, they didn't completely shut them down yet. They shut down the ring. Yeah, they shut down the ring. But the issue was there were so many people that were pointing at these bad DNS servers, if they just took them offline, they were going to have these masses of people that wouldn't know really what to do because just suddenly they couldn't get to the internet. So they've announced it, and they said more or less, hey, we're going to take all these offline July 9th. And there are a couple of government websites where you can actually go, click on, say, hey, I'm in the U.S., and it'll actually say, hey, your DNS servers are good, or they're pointed at one of the bad ones. Really, all you've got to do is check with your provider and update the DNS servers. Most people don't set them themselves. They get pushed down by the providers anyway.
Well, except if you have malware on it and you try to reset it, they'll reset it back. So
check now because... You know, it gives you a month or two to get the issues cleaned up versus, you know, July 10th when suddenly you can't go anywhere and then you can't search necessarily unless you know Google's IP address. You won't be able to search for help.
But here's the problem with this. The FBI has no business running DNS servers and then telling people to do what security experts have said never do. Go to this site and scan your computer. No.
Right.
You know, what they should have done was when they should have just gone ahead and turned it off, which would have forced people to deal with it at the time. And now they've got this convoluted situation they've set up. The FBI shouldn't be babysitting.
Well, they've never really gotten into this arena before, but they said, hey, there's more to come is kind of what they've led on to where this isn't going to be the first time they're going to interact with the internet to kind of take matters into their own hands, whether they're doing the right thing or not.
Why wouldn't they do something, though, like maybe transition them off to ones that work? I mean, you change the IP address on the
take
name
down the
server,
bad servers, put up the good servers with the same IP address.
No,
yeah,
it's the clients have the DNS defined on the client side, so the FBI doesn't have access to the client computers
until you go to their website.
Now maybe
there's something shady about that.
Maybe they could do something where they make all DNS requests for those servers respond with the same IP address, which is a single splash page website that says change your stuff. But then the thing is, DNS doesn't do just web. It does your email. It does everything your computer does that leaves the computer. You know, so I don't know if it would work.
Here's the problem. They've got an interdepartmental breakdown. What the FBI needs to do is get with the NSA and just have them reroute all the packets anyway, and problem solved.
Reroute them through their other office.
Yeah, just move them around.
Or just when they're in their office, capture the ones that are going to the wrong names.
Yeah, reroute them. Say, hey, I think you meant to send it over here.
Although, here's the one, if you're in IT, though.
Yeah, they should just let VeriSign do it, though.
If you've got that network administrator that just really frosts you, you need to get a nice weatherproof kind of router and go to his house sometime in the next 2 months and basically proxy all the traffic from his house so that he's going to one of these screwed up name servers, and hopefully he'll slip and say something about not being able to get internet on that day, and then he'll be humiliated forever because it'll look like he got burned by the by the clown show that was this exploit. You know, I bet we would have more calls if I had said that the phone number here was 713-526-5738, although everybody's just spellbound by our various tales of geekery.
Actually, we're just spellbound by you being in the building.
There you go. Yeah,
kind of amazing.
We can't call. He might shut up. No. And then in this week's Happy Geek, Sad Geek news, this kid came to world attention with his dorm room called Brad, which was... the acronym was basically that it was kind of absurdly automated,
like, you know, bionic robotics,
something like that. And he's at like Berkeley, and so Happy Geek, he's got a video where he shows the different modes for it, and, you know, party mode, and it's got voice command, and the nine scenes out of 10 involve the curtain going either closed or open. You know, it does alarms and all this other stuff. Well, so Happy Geek, and then now apparently it's come to the attention of the school administrators, and they're doing what they usually do when some kid is unique and different and clever, and they're trying to make him, they say it's too much, and want to make him take it down. The thing was, it's not like this was a neat little bit of like home automation stuff that he put in there. You know, so the lights go on, you can do voice command, you can use your tablet, those kinds of things.
Not in our dorm room.
He did not have, this wasn't like where he's got the thing that'll mix 400 different kinds of drinks, or, you know, all the video was him by himself.
We shouldn't be messing around with electricity. That's only licensed people should be doing that.
He didn't get the RA's approval. It's Berkeley Ridiculously Automated Dorm.
There you go.
And it wasn't as ridiculously automated as you would hope.
Yeah, it was.
I was hoping
a curtain
sort of Futurama kind of thing, but it was decent. I mean, the kid did, it was a solid job because it wasn't like it was all clunky and stuff in the way. But, you know, isn't that sad? You know, you're like all happy because your cool thing gets picked up and becomes viral, and then because of that, some jarhead wants to take away your toys. So that, like I said, Happy Geek, Sad Geek. So careful when you're a geek and too much attention gets paid to you. You have to be careful. Bad things can happen. So
713-526-5738.
Although if you call us, you get good attention because we're geeks paying attention to you.
Shoot, so we might even take a question from the website.
Yeah, or Flicked. It'll just you can tell him what your favorite music is, and he'll tell you if he hates it.
And chances are that I do.
Are we? I guess. Do we know? Do we have any in IRC? Are we broadcasting enough that people can hear? I heard it in the car. I could hear.
We've got
the car.
There's quite a few listeners who listen on the stream.
You can. It's a weak signal. You can hear it in certain parts of town, but not in other parts of town. It's also the Huntsville and the Goodrich Livingston towers apparently are broadcasting.
So no Galveston.
I think the Galveston is.
Not sure.
I'm not sure about the Galveston. But I wonder if we're on. I wonder if we're on HD channel one.
I think probably.
So maybe on HD. Yeah. But it's 713-526-5738. If you're listening and have a problem with your computer, we'll fix it.
IRC says that they're loving the Jay Lee impersonations.
Hey, Jay, just do that all night.
I was going to say, Peter, you're showing up as a way on Skype.
but there he is. On. So we know it's wrong.
That's because there is a computer sitting back in my office that has Skype on right now, probably. Actually, yes, I turned it on this morning. I always forget to turn it off, but now you don't have to worry about becoming a super node. It used to be that if you left your Skype on and you had a good connection, that they would pick you up.
Wow.
And use your bandwidth as a peer-to-peer
without
node.
Without querying? Without asking you?
They never know.
Did you read the terms of service?
Yeah, really. There you go. Oh, so you're lucky they didn't just come over to your house. But Microsoft replaced them. You know, they bought Skype,
right?
And they replaced replaced like 10,000 super nodes with 4,000 Linux servers running software that's optimized. Basically, they put a hardened version of Linux, and it can support each box can support a huge number more users than the kind of peer to peer they were doing off before.
And these are the ones they gave to the homeless to.
No, yeah,
that's another story.
But so they replaced, with a lot fewer machines, they replaced a ton of super nodes, and now they're supposed to, it's obviously their architecture's gotten a lot less fuzzy, and they're taking advantage of the much higher capacity. So,
Dwight, did you have a new computer you were reviewing?
Yes, I have a.
Do you want to share that?
Let me show.
Would you like to share that with the group?
Let me show it to the audience.
The glass slipper of computing.
It is the glass slipper. This is the HP Envy Spectre, and as Barrett said, it's obviously, or it was Peter said, it's HP being very envious of the MacBook Pro. It looks, it's very slick, but when you open it up, the inside does look very much.
The keyboard's like an Apple keyboard, with the exception that it's not recessed, just a little bit.
You,
so it's like
you
Apple keyboard circa.
Kind of curved keys on the corners, but it's covered in Gorilla Glass. The top back of it is Gorilla Glass.
Like the iPhone. So it's like a giant iPhone.
It's very nice. It's very smooth. Very nice to use.
But it's glass.
Very fast. Yeah.
There's glass.
Yeah, father's groove house.
Gorilla Glass, maybe, you know, it's much stronger than regular glass, but it's still glass, and I know numerous people that have broken the glass on their iPhone 4 and 4S's.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, totally.
It's not like Samsonite luggage Gorilla compatible.
Right.
Exactly. Well, it's very fast. It's got Beats audio. It's got that Dr.
Dre. The backlit keys across from here, too. Keys.
I'm telling you, it looks like the MacBook Pros from about 2-3 years ago, the way the keyboard's set up.
Huh? Except with glass.
And Windows 7. So I like it. I could live with this.
You could live with it if it was like on your desk at work every day.
Yeah,
and
it's
you
like
didn't
a
have to move
piece.
It. If you took that thing to the coffee shop and, you know, bumped it against the wall.
Bumped it with your chai latte.
Yeah, your chai latte.
It's over. It's over.
Clean up.
I like it. I would have one. You know, I treat my notebook computers like babies. I'm very, very careful with
them. Do you know the MSRP is on that?
It's about, I think it's $1,400.
It's lower than what I thought it was going to be. I was guessing so. 17 or higher.
Let me double check.
$1,400?
I think so, yeah.
With a glass lid.
And it's a 13-inch screen?
14.
14?
It feels pretty nice, and it's lightweight, too.
Don't drop it, though.
Oops.
So they included the Mac tax on theirs as well.
Yeah. It is the glass tax, let's say.
The Gorilla.
Yeah, $1,400.
Glass.
$1,400. It's got...
That's not cheap.
No, it is not cheap. Let's see. Let's see what the specs are.
Does it have
a
terabyte in it, at least, hard drive?
It's even got the white LEDs on the side, like Mac does in the front. Seriously, it's blinking at me right now.
I haven't looked at the specific specs. It starts with a Core i5 processor.
What, it's not a Core i7?
That's available.
Okay.
That's available.
How much is that one? Is that quite a bit more?
The Core i7 is probably about, kicks it up to about 1600. It's got 4 gig of RAM, 128 gigabyte SSD or 256 gigabyte SSD. So it's got SSD. It is pretty fast. I like it. I like it. So let's see if you max it out. Let's see what happens. Oh, the recommended configuration, the base, the recommended configuration is 2180.
What? Yeah.
That's the recommended. Recommended configuration.
That's even more than Mac laptops.
Yeah.
I recommend you give us all of your money.
Unless you get into the 17-inch ones. And then...
That's with the Core i7 processor and with 4 gig of RAM and with the 256 gigabyte solid-state drive. So,
ooh, yeah, I don't think there's going to be a big line outside the HP store for
So what is, if you outfit a MacBook Air with a Core i7 and 256, what is that price?
Let's get the Air to that. Did they do the i7?
I don't know if they've done the Core i7 on the MacBook line.
I think there may be something. It seems like they'll be going towards a higher end type thing when this summer when the. Right. Was it Ivy Bridge and Sandy Bridge are all totally out?
Let's see what we got here. So if you take this puppy and you take it to the max, it's 1600 with a Core i5, 1.7 gigahertz, 4 gig of memory, and 256. So the only difference really is the processor.
It's a small...
And the glass.
Well, you said it had a 512. The other one had a 512 SSD.
So, 256.
Oh, that the price for $2,100 was...
256.
The only difference was it was running Core i7s.
Yeah. Let me check.
Bigger hard drive, maybe? A little bit?
No, it's 256.
It's still 256.
Jeez. 256.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Core i7s. The prices are
and the screen's
pretty big
bigger.
Jumps. It's one inch. One diagonal inch, right? It's a 13 versus a 14. Yeah.
What's like the typical Windows 7 notebook shipping width as far as storage goes? Is it like a terabyte and a half? Are they up that high? As far as the traditional hard drives,
notebook probably a 512 to a terabyte.
Okay.
512 to a terabyte. A lot of them I see higher end ones like 750.
I get by. I've got about that amount, as that does on my solid state drive. Mm-hmm. But I'm shuffling files, especially if I've got any kind of movies or things like that. I've got to offload them to an external hard drive when I'm, pretty much out of space.
Right.
I miss the half a terabyte stuff.
Right.
I don't understand why this HP laptop isn't like, $750. Because that's what Windows machines should cost.
They're very proud of this. It's an ultrabook, by the way. This falls into the ultrabook.
See, actually, my opinion is that Apple doesn't just make like middle of the line products with just whatever they can find. Like that, right. There is some reason that their stuff costs more. It's not just because you're paying an Apple tax. So, yeah, whenever stuff like this comes out and the price is high, it always kind of makes me glad because it's just kind of like, yeah, you know what? Now they're making something that's actually nice and that does actually have cost involved.
It's the ultra tax.
The other thing is, I haven't checked this out. I haven't played with it with a critical eye yet, but I know that it doesn't have all those nasty stickers on it, like your
And
it may not have crapware. Let me look.
You're probably paying a couple hundred dollars for it not to have that on it.
I do like that it
has some crap.
It has a single mouse button that goes all the way across the bottom. I'm sure it's where you can push the two different sides, but the visual is it's got a little line that divides it into
it's
a single button across the bottom.
Who would have ever thought of that?
Yeah, it doesn't have as much crapware.
No Windows user will buy it because it's a single mouse button. It's a single button now.
Oh, it's making noise. What is that noise? What was
is
noise?
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
No, that's me taking pictures of it, wanting to be it. I'm going to play a game of which one of these things is not like the other. So you got three Macs, all with, well, mine doesn't have a backlit keyboard, but, you know, and it's the little Mac wannabe over there in the corner.
It is.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen the faces. The PC business still has not quite seemed to have recovered from the kind of march Apple stole on them for the iPad and frankly, like the Air and that kind of stuff. I think they thought it was going to keep going along like it did, and when Apple got business smart and locked up the technology they knew they were going to use in 2 years... Remember when Apple was dumping all that money in NAND memory or in the solid state drive stuff, mm-hmm. and all that,
buying them all up at those prices,
and everybody was, oh, look, you know, more expensive stuff coming out from Apple, and the result was what? Suddenly they came out with the iPad, and the PC companies went, okay, hey, oh yeah, no, we got to build something kind of similar, but. You know, it'll have more processor and it'll have more memory, and it'll be you know, 25% cheaper. And then they went and looked at the prices on making the pieces, and that's why you see all those, you know, brand new full price $299 Android tablet. Oh wait, there aren't any, unless they're tiny. You know, they're not the same size. They can't do the same specs like they did before. And I for all the years where Apple took a lot of heat about their lack of business sense for they've got innovation, it's just pretty though and nothing else, everybody laughed at them right up to the point where they basically stole their lunch, you know, and they haven't caught up. I think HP, you look at Dell's, and Dell's had trouble. HP actually did grow their, I think they grew their market, but Dell shrank from year to year.
Who just made the other Ultra like a month or two, a few months ago, that was a solid aluminum unibody? Was it Dell? Mm-hmm. That was a pretty nice looking MacBook Air. And that's a very nice looking MacBook Air. I mean, they are. Look, I mean,
that's more of a
15-inch.
That's more of a PowerBook. It's not really a...
Yeah, it's got that black on the bottom is kind of stealing away from it because it's a little bit thicker than you'd be led to believe just by looking at the aluminum side.
The nice thing is, actually, this makes it easier to hold.
It feels good when you hold
it's
it,
a non-slip.
Except for that glass on the top.
But it's a nice-looking machine.
It also has really good battery life. It's got excellent battery life. So.
Aren't they making? Are they supposed to be making glass now that is like oil phobic and dirt phobic? And
the iPhone has
the iPhone is going to has it now or it's going to have
it now.
Huh?
It's the Gorilla Glass.
But you couldn't tell. But it's easy. Cleans off easily.
Oh, okay.
Cleans off.
That's just the Gorilla Glass, right?
Yeah.
I heard they do.
They do put a coating on it. Oleophobic.
Oh, okay.
So. It's afraid of butter.
It's afraid of butter, right? Exactly. Or margarine. 713-526-5738 if you want to join the hilarity and talk to us about your computer problems, which we know are funny.
Or computers you like, computers you don't like.
Music you don't like.
Or bands, if you want to call in with your least favorite host.
Now, we should also mention...
We got 1970s on line two.
We should also mention that we do have this geek gathering Friday at Coffee Grounds. Jay will not be there.
It's your chance to come out without Jay.
With a chance to come out without Jay.
If you're intimidated by Jay,
right?
Although you can Jay come out doesn't, and, you know, he's okay with people coming out, as far as I know.
Oh yeah.
Yes. No. We make, you know, the angry thing with Jay is really more about that his voice sounds like he's got more emotion, that it's more, it's just that he's got a rough voice like that. He is not really a particularly...
That's just what Jay sounds like at 9:45. You know, he's kind of getting up there in age, and he just sounds pretty gruff. And yeah. You know,
once he starts getting tired,
grumpy old man mode. Yeah, 9:50 for sure.
Although, you know, he used to get grumpy like as the show went on, and right. So like near the end of the show, he kind of like lost his patience with me, with dealing with somebody.
That was when every call was a spyware call, and we were constantly having to say spyware and malware bytes.
And I forget he stopped drinking coffee or something, I think, helped. I mean, he did a couple other things.
You just listen to him.
He has just gotten mellow. He's just got vanilla.
So while we razz him about it and joke about it, he's not. He's only occasionally violent at the geek gatherings. And
it's been months.
As long as he's got his medicinal marijuana.
I know that Jay practices throwing chairs at home. He gets his Bobby Knight video out. He throws a chair, watches how Bobby does it. Then when he comes to the geek gathering, he throws a chair or two, and it's over.
His Steve Ballmer impersonation.
Right.
Developers. If he goes jumping through coffee grounds saying something about developers.
Get gathers.
So we are reaching the Woodlands. Radio signals get into the Woodlands.
Or well, so says good. IRC. Well, if you're listening in the Woodlands, call us.
If you have a computer question.
This will be the first non-fun drive show that will have made it all the way to Barrett time without a phone call.
Nobody's even called in to tell us that the radio station isn't on the air.
Maybe we should just sit silent for about 20 seconds.
Maybe the phones aren't
call
working.
On that.
Yeah, we're still concerned about dead air, but the station's been off the air for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah, just that's crazy.
I had a call and lost them. Or was that Groove House?
Oh, no, he was testing the phone.
Does work?
Got a dial tone.
Got dial tone?
Yes.
He had to prime the pump.
I think he's calling someone out. He's like, hey, this is Group House. Can I interest you in a technical solution?
No, I'm not doing anything. What are you up to? Now, see, there's where it would be good if we had video. Then you could see him
actually
screening
doing
the call. Typing up what it's about.
So we need to get you here on a more regular basis, or do the Tupac/Peter hologram, one of the two. We could have R2-D2 unit broadcasting you right there. That way we could do the eye contact. There wouldn't be any missed signals.
And that's the info shot. You're my only hope. So, well, you know, I will say, for those of you who have not driven between Houston and San Antonio in the past several months, the 75-mile-an-hour speed limit does make it a lot more possible for me to get to here in a lot less time.
Do people still speed a little bit, or now are people still driving at the same speed happens to be 75?
You get a much frothier mix of 70-mile-an-hour, 65-mile-an-hour people who still think they're being law-abiding citizens, and then there are the occasional people who do foray up closer to the 60. To the three-digit numbers closer. They don't get. I didn't see anybody get to there, but you do get people who get there. A lot of people will go between 75 and 80. There were a lot of police out, I will say, to this afternoon when I came over. There were a lot of them on the road, which that's got to be boring after a while, because the vast majority of people it's work. If most people, they're uncomfortable to drive that fast. And so they're not going to. So that means the police officer gets to sit there and watch, 10,000 cars go by and none of them are speeding. And, you're just like hoping for one of them to have a taillight out or something, I guess.
And at 75 miles an hour, that's going to be hard to spot.
There are plenty of people driving 80 and 90 miles an hour on the freeway when it was 55. So
that's true.
Yeah, that's
but
why
it's
I'm
not
asking
hard
if
to
the
see
ceiling
them. They're not going
to
stick out like before.
That's true. That's true. The hey, and we actually have a call.
We should probably take this one before the
take
hour is out.
Take it while we can.
So we're going to take a call.
Let's do it.
All right. First up on the show, before the top of the hour, it's going to be Nancy. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, Nancy. What can we do for you tonight?
I've got a question. My old email system, Juno.com, does not seem to be compatible with Windows 7. It makes me wait minutes between keyboard entries or mouse strokes. What I'd like to do is be able to convert all my Juno files to Outlook.
So how are you accessing Juno right now? Are you doing it through a web page? Are you doing it through a piece of software?
I have to do it on a web page, but the only way I can get to it is through Internet Explorer. Yep. Now, Windows is out there on Mozilla. And I have 5 years of board files stored in Juno, and yet I can't operate it anymore because it just takes too long to even try to send an email.
When you say that Juno, Windows is on Mozilla, Internet Explorer is the browser that comes with Windows. And in Mozilla or Firefox is what you, is a different kind of browser that you download. Which browser are you actually using to look at Juno?
Explorer.
Internet Explorer?
It's the only way I can get into it.
All right. What happens if you try with Firefox?
It comes up. It opens my email and shows me a blank page. Or shows me a gray page that I cannot click on anything.
Do you know what version of Firefox this is? Is this the most recent version? Do you know?
I think I probably downloaded any of the updates they've sent me. I started Firefox, I guess, about 3 months ago.
Okay, so you probably have a recent enough version.
You can, with Juno, I looked it up, and you can go to juno.com and go to their help. And if you go to the email section, they have the instructions for how to use to set up other email programs. You mentioned you'd like to use Outlook to get your mail.
I'd like to convert every file I've got in Juno at this point to Outlook.
They have the instructions under other email programs to tell you how to put your settings in. Since you log in through your web browser, then you know your password, you know your login and password, and
right.
then you just fill in the other blanks they tell you, and it should download. You know, then it'll get all your mail, and when you're in Outlook, you should be able to tell it to save a copy of all your mail onto your local computer and onto your machine.
Can I forward everything from Juno?
You're not going to need to forward it because
you won't have to forward it. What happens is when you hook up the email client to it, it's going to connect up to Juno and it's going to say, give me all of Nancy's mail. When you put in your login and password, it's going to basically say, give me a copy of all of Nancy's mail. And it's going to sit there for a long time pulling down all of your mail, but then you'll have a copy on your computer.
Okay, that'll be great because I've got 4 years of board of director minutes and stuff in there that I just need to stop using Juno and get something more with the program that's compatible with 7.
Well, fortunately, they don't have you locked in, so you've got a really good chance to get whatever email client you want to use. If you have Outlook
What I do, though, is go to Juno and click on the Help button, and it'll ask me what I want to forward to where or what program I want to use.
Oh, you just go to Email Questions. And in one of the sections, it's about using other email programs.
But that's in Juno and not in Windows.
Right, that's in Juno.
Okay. Great. Thanks for your help, and I'm awful glad your phones really are working.
Well, we're glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, well, did we get right up to the second?
Well, we are now.
we got to say...
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
The Greater East End Management District announces the first East End Street Festival. Join us on Cinco de Mayo for live music, local artworks, and family activities. Taco trucks will gather and battle for the Best Houston Taco title. Performing artists include Norma Zenteno, Rebel Crew Hip Hop, Los Pistoleros de Tejas, and many more. All of Houston is invited to join the East End Street Festival this Cinco de Mayo from 12 noon to 8 p.m. Admission is free. This is Pacifica Radio 90.1, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, and facebook.com/kpft Houston.
Has faced hardships over the last few months, with inclement weather dealing this community radio station significant damage. As a result, KPFT is not able to reach everyone who can normally hear our signal. However, that makes those of you listening on air and online much more needed. We need your help to get back to what we do best, great radio. Can you donate towards our transmitter costs or pledge today towards our upcoming friend drive? Independent news, music, and culture in Houston all need KPFT. Where else on the dial can you hear this unique mix of programming? Whether it's artists you've never heard before or interviews you'll always remember, KPFT has something you love and want to keep alive. Visit KPFT.org right now to help KPFT in these trying times. Again, that's KPFT.org. Your financial support helps tremendously. You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT.org, Twitter.com/KPFT, Facebook.com/KPFT Houston.
And we are back. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
And now take it away for Barrett time.
We have to say who we are now.
We can pick that up after.
Hey, Barrett, what's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you
Barrett time! Barrett time! Barrett time!
Yeah. That means it's time for
Barrett time!
Yeah. Anyway, take it away, Barrett.
All right. It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the Galactic Empire. Hold on, that's a Barrett time from a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Okay, so meta less than to get to the top of the buffer. And if you're looking for something that starts just 2 days from now in your very own galaxy, you don't have to travel any further than the city of Montreal on the planet Canada. Canada's a planet, right? I mean, not important. What is important is that Star Wars Identities will be docking at the Montreal Science Center for several weeks before moving on to the TELUS World of Science in Edmonton, Canada. Okay, so you've got an entire world inside of Canada, so it must be, I guess, a star system rather than a single planet. Can someone hit Google for me? Build is a character-driven adventure into identity. The exhibit tracks you via RFID as you take in various sights and sounds, posing questions along the way, all the while silently compiling a Star Wars avatar for you that reflects your own idea of what a Star Wars hero should be. If you can't get to Montreal to create your own alter ego, nothing's stopping you from recreating your own identity right here in Houston. While it's too hot to raise tauntauns, and you can't really build your own Death Star without having to get more permits that you can point a blaster at, there aren't a lot of local ordinances regulating modified TY-1300 light freighters. That's right. I'm talking about making your own very own aluminum Falcon, whatever the heck that is. While I may not be your best source on welding techniques, turbine construction, and the calculations involved in making the jump to light speed, the folks at General Electric probably are. They've set up shop near the stadium at Rice University to offer a number of hands-on experiences to the budding inventor-slash-imperial opportunist. Sadly, things are winding down in Houston, with tomorrow being the last official day, though there is talk of making one of these installations permanent here in Houston. Called the GE Garage, this manufacturing collab celebrates technologists, entrepreneurs and everyday people with a one-of-a-kind opportunity to discover modern prototyping and manufacturing processes, collaborate in hands-on workshops, participate in specialized manufacturing training and education, and learn from guest speakers. The space is open to the public tomorrow from 2 to 8 p.m. and is hosting a meetup at 2 p.m. specifically to allow participants to build their own Zigbee node. I believe these wireless nodes were used in Viper droids that were deployed on Hoth after the discovery of the frozen Rebel base. Hit www.ge.com/garages for details and directions. And if you do get through all the red tape and get final clearance to build a Death Star, please do yourself a favor and decouple the exhaust vents from the main reactor. By the way, I'm available for both a Death Star design and lightsaber repair this month's Geek Gathering. If you've never attended a Geek Gathering due to your fear of Emperor Lee, this is your chance to attend. Happening this Friday at the Coffee Grounds, the Geek Gathering is a place for Jedi Masters, Padawan learners, Sith Lords, and even those of us with unremarkable midichlorian counts to gather together to talk about Star Trek. Oops. Word of warning, though. Some of our attendees may be packing lightsabers and firmly believe that Han shot first. If you try to kick up a conversation with Lupilo about how Commander Sisko would have done on an actual starship, you do so at your own risk. Hex bugs will probably replace tribbles. There should be a smattering of Arduino and other physical computing gear, which you could construct a droid, given enough time and material. 2503 Bagby at McGowan is where you want to be sometime between 7 and 7:30. Coffee, tea, and Wi-Fi are all available, and Specs is just a short walk over for those wishing to bring their own beer and wine. The Coffee Grounds has been closing at 11 lately, so what are you going to do with your last hour of May 4th? can head down the block to 4715 Main to catch the last hour of the Dandy Warhol Star Wars Art Show, taking place this Friday from 8 p.m. until midnight at the War House. The exhibition will feature the work of over 50 artists in multiple mediums, paintings, drawings, photography, sculptures, toys, body painting, and much, much more. I think we should play a game of Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock to see who gets the Princess Leia gold bikini painted on their bare body. After it all, it is Star Wars Day, May 4th, completely legit. Look it up right after you Google Canada. That's it for your Star Wars sit rep, and that's that for Barrett Time. And may the 4th be with you. Get it, May 4th, Star Wars Day?
We do get it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I've
explain
had some
it,
conversations
please.
with Amateri about that.
Yeah, she's pretty amped up on that, I think.
Yeah, she was seemed excited about it, and then she said that Scott Lupilo didn't seem all that excited about it or something.
Does he celebrate a different day?
Well, I was saying that maybe he felt like it was you know, offensive in a way. It was like making fun of people.
It's amateur
like
day. Yeah.
Because it's kind of like saying it with a lisp or something.
There were gay Jedis. But not having a lisp necessarily. Wow. Where's the dump button? Although Lucas is probably, that's the one, I think, you know, segment of the population that Lucas actually hasn't.
Didn't horribly.
Yeah, it didn't horribly, yeah. So I just played George Lucas there for a few seconds.
And end scene.
Yeah, well, now according to Barrett Time, you have to go to Canada if you want to ruin Star Wars with your own new character. Where here in America, we're stuck without. We got to wait for George Lucas to come up with some other brilliant idea about what to do to the franchise.
There were plans, or I don't know if it was plans or rumors, that whole the Star Wars Identity thing was going to come to California. But as of right now, there no. I mean, that was honest. Actually, that was not a joke. But it's gotten scrubbed, so hopefully it'll make a sweep through the U.S. But right now, yeah, you do have to head up there.
Right now, if you identify as Star Wars, you have to go to Canada. If you have that Star Wars identity.
Do they let Star Wars characters marry in most states?
Good question. All right. Well, you know, we're doing everything in the wrong order and all that fun
I'm
stuff.
I'm Barrett. And he's...
But we should go backwards. We should do our names, we should do it backwards.
And we should start the show by introducing the vegans. But it's too late for that. I'm Dwight.
It's
me.
No, Group House has to start it.
It's me.
And he's. And then you have to say Dwight.
I'm Dwight.
And I'm Barrett.
I'm Afflicted.
And I'm Peter Hughes.
We're all doing an I'ms. Yeah, that's tough.
It's me.
Barrett I'm.
So okay.
Is that an FCC regulation that we actually state our names? Is that a broadcaster kind of thing?
No.
Okay,
no.
I didn't know. I thought we were all going to go to jail.
ID. No, it's
station
just
ID is the only
stating
thing mandatory.
The frequency and call letters.
The name, city,
and city. Yeah.
Call letters.
Can we misrepresent ourselves? Can we broadcast anonymously, or does it have to be on the level? I guess with the Afflicted thing, it's anonymity.
It's
cool.
Groove House is anonymous.
I actually have an FCC radio operator permit, though.
Mm-hmm. You do?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to get that? Where can I get one?
I worked as a DJ when I was in high school at a station back when they.
You have to know how to work the board.
Required it.
Like, you can't work the board. You're not going to get it.
Is there math on the test?
No, I had to be an understudy. There was no Morse code. I had to like study with somebody who had an operator's permit for like a couple of weeks or something before I could apply for mine.
Was it like an actual adult, or was it like another high school student?
They were kind of in between. I think they were out of high school, but they were kind of like...
But couldn't quite leave the AV club?
Yeah, well, I was going to say they were kind of like... oh, dang it, I'm blanking on his name. Matthew McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused.
It'd be a lot better if you did know.
It was mostly those guys working at the radio station.
Every
that's
year
what I like about it. High school girls. They just love radio DJ.
Well, now imagine nowadays if they made you get a license. I know in a station like this you could kind of make the argument because there's all the mechanical things to move around, but I would think you go in a modern radio station and it's like click, click, be able to push three buttons and start the playlist.
Play one of these 40 songs.
See, we and the station I worked at wasn't 24-hour, and so a lot of times I did sign-off because we signed off at 10, so I would have to play the national anthem, and then I would actually, like, power down the, like, transmitter at the station that, like, transmitted to the tower.
Oh, wow, and then you'd power it back up for a few minutes of Rebel Radio.
Radio.
Out in the desert. It'd go clear channel, so you'd get calls from Michigan.
713-526-5738 if you have a computer question.
Hopefully next week on the pledge drive we'll do better on calls.
Well, hopefully they'll have the tower and up and running.
Some horsepower, yeah.
Going. Yeah, that's the problem.
But
it's me.
There we go. So isn't there some other nastiness going through Congress right now, or it made it through the House? It's like the SOPA Junior.
There's no kind of nastiness in Congress.
I mean, aside from what you can clean up with a shot. Yeah, there's.
Oh, there you go. Yes, the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. Now, that one's been kind of all over. That doesn't seem like it's had the kind of coalescence that, like, the other one did. I think partly because this one there's sort of some people feel that there's parts of it that maybe are really about cybersecurity, and others. Mozilla has come out against. I've seen there's some articles say even worse than SOPA. Microsoft denies softening their CISPA support. It gets tough with this stuff because you don't even know whatever the parts that aren't discussed publicly. But the best part is, so you've got CISPA and there's all these people talking about CISPA and they're against CISPA and all that. How would you like to be the head of the California Internet Service Provider Association, CISPA? They're now on the bottom of the first page of their own results because of one bill that matches their
letters. Oh, man. Yeah, that's a problem.
We got a call.
We do. Yes, we do.
They're like gold tonight.
They are. Should we take that call?
Who do we have, Groofhouse?
No, let's not take the call because that will use our gold.
Oh, hold on.
More gold because it could be worth more later.
We need more gold.
That's what we need. We just need
somebody start gold mining.
Hire some gold farmers.
Gold farmer.
So before we take it, what's the phone number, Groofhouse?
It's 713-526-5738.
Be our gold.
That's right. Be our gold.
I'm going to run down the road, break someone's computer, and leave our call-in number in the chair. I'll be right back.
All right. We got some gold. We got more gold. So while I get that other gold, we'll take this gold. And the first gold on the second half of the show is going to be Robert.
Hey, Robert. You're on Technology Bites.
Okay. I was driving through Houston here, and I heard this thing about Tech Bites.
Yes, the caller-free call-in show.
The show with no aim.
For real? Okay, well, anyway, I've been a very novice person when it comes to Windows 7. Have had it for a while. There's this thing called Media Player, I believe. And anytime I've gone into Windows Media Player, it's like, for me, it's like going in the Twilight Zone, and I don't understand it or get it. Is there any kind of, like, tutorials, to teach Media Player to anybody who's not familiar with it in the program in Windows 7?
There's a help file in Windows 7 in almost every program. Once you bring it up, I believe you can still just hit the F1 key on the keyboard, and it'll bring up your help files. But there should also be, there'll be like a question mark. It's often a question mark and a blue circle that's somewhere on the screen. Or if you can get the menu to come up, Windows 7 hides the text menu sometimes. But if you hit the Alt key, you should be able to see the menu and then click on the help button.
Is there anything in particular you want to do that you can't, or is just all the menus just overwhelming?
No, I just want to just try to learn what it's all about, because I any time I've ever been in there, it's like the Twilight Zone. I don't get it. So, but of course, I'm not very good at this computer stuff, so I'm just trying to teach myself how to do it. And any time I last time I went was like about a year ago because it was just so confounding. I couldn't even understand how to even try to teach myself on that. So this, you know, you're talking about hitting an Alt key on the menu and F1, that might be helpful for me.
There also is a couple of sites that have tutorials. If you do a Google search for Windows Media Player tutorial and go down to about four or five of the results, there are some at about.com, which is a pretty decent site for this kind of information.
About.com?
Yeah, well, look for that in the Google search results. You'll see two of them there. One, a general tutorial on CD burning, and there are some others in there as well, and it will it'll give you some help.
If you've got a fast internet connection, like broadband or something, I've noticed a lot of like kind of tech supporty videos have been popping up on YouTube, and I'm seeing like there's a Learn Windows 7 segment that actually has like 3.5 minutes on Windows Media Player. So sometimes it's kind of nice to see when you click through it and hear a voice and stuff like that. If you're not, you know, necessarily a learner from just being able to scan a page and pick up what's going on.
Okay, that's well, I do option. Appreciate it.
Well, glad we could help.
Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
That was gold. That was
3 minutes
gold.
Of gold.
But where are our dancers?
But I cast a magic missile.
Are there any girls? I'm getting drunk.
Where's the Cheetos?
All right, well, 713-526-5738 to join the other golden characters in the is it a queue if there's only one in it at a time?
Technically, it's still a queue. We've got Larry Gold in the queue.
He's, all right.
Could become a hostage. We only release Larry into the queue.
When we have somebody else.
There we go. Yeah.
All right, all right,
great. All right, so up next on the show, we're going to take Larry.
Hey, Larry, you're
on the
air.
All right, thank you. Are you there?
Yeah, what can we do for you tonight?
Hey, I've recently acquired one of these new smartphones, and I'm curious about the security. Is there, like, certain applications where you can, is it, you know, like my computer at the house where I have to have antivirus and spyware on it? Because it seems like I'm downloading a lot of stuff, you know, from the Internet.
What kind of smartphone is it?
It's from Cricket. It's one of those, I think, KCE.
It's an Android phone?
Yes, sir.
There are Android antivirus programs that you can download and install in it. Android, there is Android malware out there. And usually if you get it from the Google market, for the most part, it should be relatively safe, although some malware has occasionally snuck in there.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, for the most part, if you stick with programs that have a lot of downloads already, the Android market shows you how many downloads it has.
The amount, yeah, I saw that too. Okay.
And so if it's been downloaded quite a bit and it's still there, you'll see ratings and discussions of it. Use that as your guide, and for the most part, you should be okay. But you can install any malware on an Android device.
I saw one on my application. It's called Lookout, and that was on there, and so I put that on, and it seems to be monitoring everything. You know, it was a freebie too. So
yeah, Lookout is a well known one. The other nice thing about Lookout is that if you lose the phone, it allows you to find it, lock it, and even wipe it.
Awesome.
So it has that feature as well.
Although, yeah, one of the things, if you're concerned about security, if I picked up your phone right now and pushed the button, would it come up and allow me to click around and look at all your stuff?
Yeah.
You may. It depending if your phone's always near you and you're always keeping track of it, that's fine. Right. But if you're ever in any place where you're worried about it, you know, put a pin on it. You know, go into the settings and make add a code or something to launch the phone. If you travel, it's a good idea.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, and y'all have a good night.
You too.
Enjoying listening and talking to you.
Glad to help.
I just got through playing a gig with Joanna. She's one of your Sunday DJs on the bluegrass thing.
Nice.
Excellent.
So, saw y'all, heard y'all playing, and just wanted to say, hey, appreciate the advice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
So, Afflicted, do you like bluegrass?
You know what?
I know you
don't
probably,
like
you don't?
Bluegrass
I would have thought that it
much.
Was similar to the old country
I
that
like,
you like.
I like some of it, but it's one of those things where, I like it in limited doses.
Somewhere up in heaven, Maybell like Carter is
if I listen to a few songs, it's cool. But if I can't listen to like an hour of it, like I lose interest.
At a certain point, it just starts sounding like the Beverly Hillbillies over and over again.
We got gold.
We loaded up them lines. People, they've come out. They've shyly come out of the dark corners, or else maybe the wind blew the right way and the transmitter
there you go.
Popped up an extra 5 watts and they can see it.
We've got real gold.
All right. Well, who's up next?
All right. Up next on the show, we're going to take Dan.
Hey, Dan, what can we do for you tonight?
Hey, guys. I guess the wind's blowing the right way. Love the show. Want to know what you know about the latest rumors on the new MacBooks. When are they going to come out, and what's groovy about them?
Well, they're like everybody else. I mean, they're coming out with brand new processors. The rumors are, you know, a lot of Mac models are due for a redesign. It's just, it's time. They're starting to get creaky. And so they're, you know, nobody knows for sure, but it sure sounds like the bigger devices are going to get more, potentially going to get more MacBook Air looking, a lot thinner, a lot sleeker. They're going to get faster and they're going to last somewhat longer on the battery. Those processors will trickle out. They've started to come out, so you're seeing some of the PC announcements now. The Mac stuff, I think, is going to be the earliest stuff should be later this month, possibly, but I would think more likely in June because they have their Worldwide Developer Conference, and so that would be a good time for them to announce.
Yeah, when is the Worldwide Developer? It's like mid-June,
yeah.
Right? Mid-June. Yeah, you don't ever know for sure. They could come out with them, you know, tomorrow. You just wouldn't know. Can't tell with Apple. But unless you like really need a computer right now and you want a Mac, it's probably a good time to wait.
Seeing some stuff from mid-April on a lot of news sites that they're saying that the actual supplies of the 15-inch MacBook Pros are being allowed to dwindle. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're running them out. So
right
soon.
And if you look around, there's, you know, because nobody other than people at Apple, and they don't go out blabbing, but at places like Tom's Computing, and I was trying to find one, Deal News also had a whole article about kind of when to buy Macs, so they were talking about in the next, you know, when to buy Macs in the next few months. It's time. They're very close, but you know, you basically have to wait till they announce, and they'll usually announce it, and then within, depending on the model, sometimes they announce it and it'll come out in 2 weeks, and sometimes they announce it and that day it's available for sale.
Your best bet is probably to go hit up Cupertino beer bars around closing time and just look in seats and along the floor.
Although, did you see that, Pete, that Apple is considering building a restaurant, a cafeteria off-site where people can go and eat and not have competitors come in and eat?
I think
well.
They okayed it. I heard they green-lighted it. So the idea is, yeah, you can go to a place, so like instead of going off campus for lunch and you're having people within earshot, because that whole area is just, you know, they want to know what Apple's doing, they're going to do a pretty posh, pretty nice, you know, facility very close to campus, even maybe like, you know, connected to campus somehow, where you can go and you can eat and you can talk about any Apple stuff you want to without fear of, you know, being without your dome of silence. So
I have eaten in the Apple cafeteria on campus.
Is it good or is it bad?
It was really good.
Yeah.
I had lunch with Guy Kawasaki years ago on campus, and it was pretty damn tasty. And I don't know why they want to leave, because the food like is spectacular. But apparently there is like a great desire to, you know, to get off campus every now and then, and this gives them a chance to do so without having, you know, the boys from Samsung sitting at the table next to you.
Oh, now see, if I were running that particular part, you know, all the employees have got to have iPhones. I would probably supply them with an app that would feed them new rumors to start up, so you could just kind of trace what restaurant it came from. So, hey, you know, if you're running out of something to talk about at lunch, talk about the new, you know, MacBook Air-shaped iPad that we're going to do that's going to come to a sharp point, and it'll allow you to slice and dice, too.
Pretty sure that Samsung already has, like, spies working in the cafeteria. That'll explain quite a bit.
Bussing tables?
Yeah. Uh-huh. wiping down whiteboards in the design room.
All right, thank you.
We had a caller. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Like, I'm done. Can you guys stop? Let me go.
Speaking of Apple, did you see that somebody shot up the new Apple store on Westheimer?
No, for real?
Yes, it was one of
five. They shot up some other stuff.
Yeah, it was one of five businesses along Westheimer in that stretch where somebody just went down the street firing a pistol. They fired two slugs into the Apple store. Didn't penetrate the glass. It's spiderwebbed the glass.
Gorilla it's actually glass.
That's right. It's actually like five or seven panes glued together. And so when it hit it, the bullets were like lodged in there. But now they've got to replace those panes.
And so was this like during business hours or late
about
at night?
5 in the morning.
It said between like 3:30 and 5:30.
What are their stores that they hit? Were they just
there was a
gas station on the corner.
Gas station by Central Market and some other things further down.
Wow. So if you commute and take Westheimer, I could see where in the morning you might get
bouncing beach ball.
All right. Well, we've got calls lined up.
Let's see who else we can ignore.
All right. Up next, we are going to take Walter.
Hey, Walter, you're on the air.
Hey there. Well, I need a new Mac, but that's not why I called. I got to deal with an old PC in the meantime. Following directions, I've booted the thing in safe mode and run malware bytes and try to do everything I can, and I can't find anything that it finds, but when you're running under normal circumstances, Windows XP, Malwarebytes and even System Mechanic report that it stops something reaching out from inside all the time.
Well, you may have a viable program, a program that's benign. Programs do that all the time. And so is it saying that it's specifically malware? Is it giving you the name of what it may be?
Well, it has given me something, and it's something reaching out from the IE temp directory, but I can't find it, and I've actually deleted a few things and tried to do it, and it's, I don't know, short of formatting the drive, which
is a lower article. But it doesn't say doesn't give you a name of what it is?
I'm just not next to it.
Well, when you see that file name, here's what you do. When you see the file name, Google for that file name. And there are several sites that will tell you what files are and whether they are malicious or not. There's a good chance it may be a part of Internet Explorer that is talking to some site that it needs to talk to in order to do its job, that there are programs that just do that normally. So there may not be anything to be alarmed about. If you do have something that's pretty sneaky, there's a good program that's good at clearing out really tough malware called Hitman Pro.
Oh.
And it will, but don't run it unless you know for sure what you've got. So pay attention to the details. Look at what the name of the file is. Google it and get some information. And if it says that it's something malicious, you may want to go ahead and run Hitman Pro.
All righty. Well, I'll take a shot at that.
And one thing to note about Hitman Pro is that it is it's not a free program, but you can run it, I think, for 30 days without charge, and it runs completely. There's no limitation on what it'll do. It will clean it out. So when you get it, you'll see a notice that makes it look like you have to pay. It's a 30-day trial. Go ahead and use your 30 days to get it cleared out.
Okay.
Okay. That can't be a new machine anymore that's running XP, and you may want to prepare, make sure you have a backup and some of that kind of stuff on your documents that are on there. And worst comes to worst, if you did, wipe it and reinstall, then it's going to run faster again, and it'll be clean.
Yeah, it may be time to do that anyway. Certainly, everything I've got is old. I'm still, my Macs are G5, and so I'm running up against the flash problem.
Oh, my.
So, because they don't support
time marches
flash.
On.
So, it's time to get some new hardware.
Well, on the plus side, you will have neck-snapping increases in performance.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll feel like I get my money's worth, that's for sure. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Glad to help.
All right.
Yeah, you think about that. If it's if they're that old that it's G5, so then you're talking about when you got a like 200 meg hard drive or 500 meg hard drive. So he could buy one laptop, a cheap, whatever cheap laptop, and have a solid state drive that has more disk space than all his home computers put together, and a lot faster. Or he could just buy a smartphone, a Cricket smartphone, and it would probably have as much processing power as he's running right now. Anyways. All right, well, who's up next?
All right, up next on the show, more gold. We're going to go with Julia.
Julia, hi.
You're on the air.
You went gold mining, and so I scrounged up a question. I tend to go between platforms, and so I use an Android phone and a PC at work, but I have a MacBook at home and an iPad, and I missed a menu button. So I have the calendar feature I love, but I can't figure out how to make it distinguish between my Gmail accounts so that my different Gmail calendars look different, so they're a different color. Any ideas?
So you're using the Google, the Gmail app?
No, I'm using the feature on the iPad, the calendar feature, and it will integrate all of my different calendars, my Gmail calendars, my Outlook calendar from work. It'll do all of that, but it makes all of my Gmail calendars red. And
are you using like the iCal link to put it in there?
Oh, the iCal link? No. Oh,
like how did you actually link it into your Google Calendar?
In settings, I can just go add, like when I added my Gmail account to the mail feature, I can sync my calendar.
Oh. It's in the system settings.
So if it's in the system, it's going to be really hard to go into the app and tell it, hey, do this feed this color, do that feed that color.
Yeah, it's possible you may not be able to do this.
Oh, that's so, I was so hoping that you guys of all people would know.
I don't know, on my iPhone, it does have different colored dots for my different calendars.
Well, it will, but the source of the calendar is what it's based on. So
right. So if I had a Yahoo account and a Gmail account, they'd be two different colors. But with two Gmail accounts, they're the same color.
Right. I've actually got two Gmail accounts. I'm trying to find both of them. But, I see one.
You have one account, right, with different calendars on it? Is that what you have?
No. I have different accounts, each of which has a calendar. And this feature on my iPad will show me all of the different accounts and all of the different calendars. Unfortunately, all of the Gmail calendars look the same because they're all colored red. They're all assigned the same color. Whereas my Outlook calendar is assigned yellow.
See, now I want to say that the color, I'm not sure. I want to say the colors on mine are actually coming from my desktop, my Mac desktop.
Oh, no. So is this like user error? Like if I reset all of my Gmail accounts to be different colors, do you think it would come through?
Are any of them set up as red right now?
So that occurred to me only just now. I hope not. I hope that's not the reason I call. Because I've been really irked by this. But I guess it's possible, so I could check that out. But I had just assumed it was assigning it, so.
Yeah, so
I'll go and look
so
on
it's important
on
to
an
you,
actual computer.
It's important to you to mix all the calendars all together, or?
Well, I mean, I can see them one at a time, which is fine. I would just love to visually be able to track all of the different parts of my life.
Go change one, because if they're all different, red may be just the default calendar for each one of those accounts. And just change one, you know, maybe recycle the phone, see if it changes color on there, and if it does, you've got your answer.
Thanks.
And
happy
if not,
gold mining.
We're probably going to need more gold next week, so let us know.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
You know, Sam, I'm looking through mine to try to find things I don't put much on one of my Google calendars. I went ahead and added it, but one of them I've got something to read. Actually, it's a reminder for this show. This shows up every week, but the other one I don't regularly put stuff in, and so I haven't found an entry for that one.
Dwight's got his iPod out, so he's on the job.
Yeah, I've got an iPhone, so they may behave somewhat differently.
Yeah, I don't see a way to do it.
The only thing I wonder is if you've got it synced with a desktop Mac, if it wouldn't let you make changes to the desktop settings that might come across with it. But
see, so I'm thinking that these
That would be the
only
way. I
think these colors are matched with my desktop, I believe.
So
that could be.
They're not, these types of devices are not real big on letting you have as many choices as.
That's one of the sides of, just things just working, is that they just work because there are very few, parameters that you can really
sort of
change.
The 80-20 rule, it just works because they don't make you have to have too many choices on
the 20% of things that didn't work, they're not in that release.
So, yeah, I can see where that'd be a tough one, though. If they're all the same color, it kind of, if you wanted to. Although, I guess most people distinguish more by kind of what the event is, and I think there are ways to code them that way, but.
I think that's something kind of basic, though, to where you can color code your calendar entries.
Now, I don't know on the iPod. I'm looking at my iPhone, right? I don't know about the iPad. Did you say iPod or iPad?
I might have said iPod earlier.
You did.
Yeah.
Did she say iPad?
Let it go.
She said iPad.
Okay, yeah, now on the iPhone, so if I'm in my. If I'm in my calendars, hold on a second. So if I'm in my calendars, and on the upper left there's a calendars tab that shows all of your calendars, and you can turn on or off your calendars, whether they show up in your list or not. So in that window now, in the upper left, there's an edit button. If I click on that edit button, it lists all my calendars by name. And if I select one of them, I can change the name, and I can also pick what color it shows up as on your iPhone.
That would have to be similar on the iPad then. I guess it's that they separated it out. So it's separate from the account. If you go to the calendar itself and select a particular calendar from the list at the top, then they give you the options to...
Yeah, there I can, let's see, I can edit... Let's see. It won't let me edit the Gmail calendar. That one grays out. But I can do calendar work and home, and then I can do specific colors. But it won't let me touch the Gmail calendar.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But I've got two Gmail accounts, two Gmail calendars. They're listed here, and I can click on them. In the edit window, and it lets me pick a
doesn't let
me change the name. That's grayed out, but it does let me pick a color.
Yeah, when I go here, edit, it grays out. I can't do anything with it.
Huh.
So there you go. And mine's bigger. So
strange but true iPad stories.
What's the phone number, Groove?
713-526-5738. What are we doing? What did I miss?
We're farming calls right now.
Okay.
And we're having a...
We have a call.
...contest here between who's got the larger piece of Digitalia.
Oh, I see.
White's
winning. We do have a call in the queue, though.
Mine's white, too. So...
Let's go for it.
All right, then. Up next on the show, we're going to take Ray.
Hey, Ray, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
What can we do for you tonight?
I get business inquiries through my website, and occasionally I get something comes in email wise, and when I respond to it, I just hit reply, and it goes, and it comes back undeliverable. I get a couple of those once in a while, and they're just. I was wondering why. Do you have any idea why?
That means they just put in for the return address, or for the address that they claimed to be from. They put in a fake address.
Fake address?
Yeah. Even they can either, if it came through your web contact form, they can put in whatever they want in the form field, and a lot of them will automatically fill that in as the reply to address, but it doesn't make it real. If you get an email from somebody and it turns out, and then you hit reply and it bounces,
right?
It's really as easy to fake the return address on an email as it is on an envelope. If you wanted to fake the return address on an envelope to somebody, what do? Uh-huh. You just grab the envelope, write on it, and then send off the mail with the fake, that the email to the person came from, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or whatever. So it doesn't really have. In the from line in an email just doesn't really have any value as far as definitely telling you who sent you something.
But is that done inadvertently? I mean, is that done by mistake on their part or inadvertently, or is it just a mistake somewhere in there?
They're automated. If you have a business contact form, they're like automated, and I don't know why they do it. I don't know what they're getting for it. If they're hoping to maybe harvest email addresses,
They seem legitimate inquiries actually, and I get them all the time, and they're not that frequent. But I'm just curious about what it's been a couple of them really that. I hit reply, and then it comes back in deliverable, and I try it again, and it just comes back in deliverable again.
They could either be competitors or else they're spammers who are trying to kind of troll for information.
Does it have any other information on there, like recipient doesn't exist, or, like black hole blocked, anything like that?
Well, the inquiries are definitely directed to me. I mean, I provide the airbrush services and stuff. So they do call regarding
when the emails bounce back to you.
But then when they bounce back, my hosting service tells me that it's undeliverable, and they I don't remember if there's a specific reason for it or anything. But they just come back undeliverable. I just wonder why.
Yeah, usually somewhere buried in there, I know it gets into kind of gobbledygook, but it'll usually either say that account doesn't exist. Or sometimes it says, whatever.com doesn't like that recipient.
Right.
That means they don't exist. Or else it'll say that that's full or unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about that. Well, I appreciate the help. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Glad to help.
It may just be somebody on the other end has misconfigured their email.
Yeah, that's the thing I would look at. I mean, in case it is legit, sometimes they might have like a really small email provider that might have wound up on like a real-time black hole list. So your provider's bouncing emails off that or won't deliver it. But a lot of times in the headers, even though you've got to dig, if you read through, eventually you'll see a few words of English that will make sense, hopefully. And that'll shed some light on exactly why they're being bounced.
There do seem to be, though, there's automated things that sweep through, and they try to, like, pick keywords and stuff to sound like they're about something legit. I still haven't kind of figured out what they think they're what they're supposed to get. Because obviously when your response doesn't go back, when you can't respond to them, it's not like they can even harvest the email address you used.
Yeah, I get like forum postings because other people see it and other people can click it. I get like spam email when it's laced with something, they want you to click it. But I don't get just the random forum submission unless they're just grabbing onto anything with a post. Maybe they're running other exploits against it. But
Or using it to practice something.
Yeah.
It's a good question. Yeah, who knows why they do it?
But if you send malicious email, call us at 713-526-5738.
Call us from a not real phone number, and
we'll call you back.
Interesting, Dwight, you might have seen this. I forgot where it was, but a Wall Street Journal reporter, somebody was actually showing, highlighting the black market on the web, and more or less through this article showed people how to go get Tor, install Tor, gave them the sites of various and sundry zero-day sites and where you can buy guns and whatever. And more or less it was hey, here's how you do it kind of thing. So you're talking about the underbelly of the web and other things.
I definitely go read it now.
It's worthwhile. I learned a couple. It had some updated sites I wasn't aware of. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Yeah. But it's one of those things where, you want to be able to give out plans and share knowledge, but I almost think this guy almost went a little too far.
Publishing the anarchist the stuff you cookbook can get on the Wall Street Journal site is a little different.
Well, that's all outdated. This stuff is real. This is like zero-day stuff. And he actually showed how you can get a Bitcoin account without actually tracing back to you. You went through a lot of steps to set yourself up on the black market. It's pretty good. So, yeah, if you would like to eventually learn how to send malicious email, go read that article and then call in.
This was a Wall Street Journal?
I think it was. It was someone. It wasn't like your
was
average kind of hacker guy. I don't recall. I don't think so. Because I linked to it off Slashdot. But it was one of those major. It was someone fairly major. I'll look while we take some of the gold here.
Okay. Oh, gold.
Four pieces.
Some untraceable bitcoins.
Unless Groove's on. Yeah, Groove's on the phone right now. So I guess as he comes back.
Or we could just grab it. Let's see. Unless he's there.
Groove, he is there. He's fast.
He's right there. He's got it. It's covered. He's a pro.
Groove House.
Yes.
Who do we got?
All right, up next, we are going to take Cal.
Hello.
If you've got a phone question, go see Cal. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sure you got that a couple of times in your childhood.
A couple times. I have a question with your discussion. I have several email accounts, and one of my Hotmail accounts seems to be sending out some just you know, things that I've never authorized, like work from home and other stuff, and I see it show up in my sent box. And I've already changed the password. I did a little research, but it doesn't seem like I can stop it, and I don't know how it's happening. So do I need to just stop that email account?
Are you sure it's really in your out mail, or are you getting bounces that claim that you sent it to them and it came back? Because if I do a fake bounce, I take your email address and I forge it on an email as the sent from address. When I send it off to Barrett and it gets to him and his provider bounces it as spam, then it's going to go back to you because the return address on it is the fake one, your fake address that I put on it.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes I get that actual email from one of my Hotmail accounts to another one, and other people have sent me things saying, hey, I've gotten something from you. So I think it is actually going out. I see it sometimes in the send box, and other times I don't see it there. It's just, I guess it's just going out. So
have you scanned your computer for spyware?
I have. I've used the Defender, is that, and I have the Avast one, or I think those are the virus or the spyware ones. But it doesn't show that there's anything on it, but it only goes for this one particular email account.
Are you getting there through webmail, or do you have it like installed into Thunderbird or Outlook locally?
Well, no Outlook, it's just the web, but it's just Hotmail in this case.
You know, I have seen that in my inbox on Hotmail, and changing the password seemed to fix it. I haven't seen it in about a year or so, but I changed the password. When you changed the password, did you change it to something that was completely different from what you had before?
Yes, because I did read about some of that, and I did do something completely different than what was ever there before.
And was there immediately the continuation of the mail in the sent box, or did you like not see anything for a week or so, and then you started seeing it again?
Exactly. I didn't see anything for a week or so, and then I saw it again.
Did it match any other passwords that you might have out there, or is this totally unique to Hotmail?
Totally unique to this particular Hotmail one.
The only thing I could think of is that you might have a keylogger, or there may be something in your browser that is giving them access. What web browser are you using?
For the most part, it's Chrome, but sometimes I will use a couple of other ones, Internet Explorer or just what's the other one? The Mozilla ones.
Firefox, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Chrome is pretty secure. What you might try doing is changing the password.
Okay.
And then switch to another browser and use that other browser for a while and see what happens when you talk to Hotmail. So when you connect to Hotmail, don't use the browser that you were using when you were having that problem. And just see see what happens with that.
Okay.
I mean, that's an odd problem. And, you know, it could be you have a keylogger on your computer.
And how would I know if I had that or not? Is there some sort of scan to figure that out?
Well, you could grab Malwarebytes, which is a good one for scanning. You know, you have Windows Defender, which is an anti-spyware program that's built into Windows.
Right.
You have Windows 7, I presume.
It is Windows 7. Okay. That's correct.
And then if you're using Avira is a decent anti-spyware, anti-malware program. So you have a decent set of tools there. Try Malwarebytes and do a scan with that and see if you see anything.
Or if you're outside at night, walk about halfway across the street under the streetlight and then turn around really quick and see if there's anybody there.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'll give it a try and let me see if that shows up for anything. Thank you.
Good luck.
I'm sure you appreciated the spy reference. No, it's tough. You know, the thing is, it is easy to, if he's really getting a keylogger, then being paranoid is exactly the right thing. I didn't want to make light of that, but it does get, as you talk about those things and think about them, it does.
Hotmail accounts get broken into fairly often, too. I remember there was a story going around, like, I guess Microsoft tried to rebadge Hotmail and said, hey, try it again, and they handed off, you know, like this brand new shiny account to a reporter, and within a week, it was broken into, which, you know, kind of shot them in the foot. But that does go around. Well, we've got about 10 more minutes in the show. We got one call in the bank, possibly two here.
Yeah,
second. Maybe have time for a third. 713-526-5738. And is Groovehouse on the phone?
Nope. I'm patiently waiting your instructions.
He's kind of like an Arduino. He's kind of like an Arduino board, and you know, you have to give him instructions.
Answer line one.
Well, no, let's talk to Malik.
And then talk to Malik first, yeah.
Oh, so you want me to answer line one first?
No.
Do both at the same time.
Yeah, do both at the same time.
He's not. He's
You're
not
supposed
a,
to go. Okay, guys.
And who do we have?
Who do we have next?
Who do we have next, Groovehouse?
All right, up next on the show, we're gonna take Malik.
Hello, with Malik Aforethought.
How are you guys doing?
Real good. What can we do for you tonight?
Okay, this is kind of a strange issue, and really like y'all's show. Never called in, but I always enjoy the comedy. And I'm going to be one of the comedians today. So I have a Google, an Android phone, and it's plugged into my Google account. And I'd say about December-ish, I just started noticing that I have people disappearing from my contact list. It took me about a month to really catch on because it was my mother-in-law and stuff like that. Really, nobody I was too concerned about losing their contact because they'll always find me. And anyhow... Finally, I went and did a restore, and in a month, there was about 300 contacts that no longer existed in my contact list on the restore. Now, it happened again today, where I was actually looking at the call log and trying to call a friend of mine that I know called me recently, and I was looking at that person's name. And it disappeared right in front of my eyes. And the number showed up. So I go back to my Google account, look at the contacts. No freaking phone numbers, excuse my language. And in a matter of days, I lost 80 contacts. Random. No pattern. Not like most, frequent contact, not like favorites, none of that. But completely random.
Are they disappearing from just the phone, or if you go to the Google?
Both.
They're gone there too, huh? What model of phone do you have?
It's the G1.
Oh, the original?
HTC. Huh?
The original Google phone?
No. No, it's the 4G. The one with the slide-out keyboard. The T-Mobile one.
Uh-huh.
It's really very strange. Now... It's not happening to anyone else, and I don't know what happened to it.
Have you changed your Gmail password since all this started happening?
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the password, but I do change my password reasonably frequently.
I just want to rule out that no one else has access to the account.
Oh, no. Okay. No, I mean, I would have thought that it was possible if I didn't see it happen right in front of me today.
There are a couple of locations in the contacts where they're stored. I'm seeing several people. I did a Google search, and I'm seeing several people talking about contacts moving from the My Contacts group over to an All Contacts folder. Have you looked in multiple folders in that?
Uh-huh.
Don't see them in any of those other folders.
Actually, they lost some of them that disappeared. Lost the designate too. Like family, they lost it.
Were any of these contacts weren't on like a previous phone, and you brought them over by the SIM card? Were they? Google to begin with?
No, because I switched away from Verizon, and Verizon is very friendly to do that. It doesn't happen. I mean,
mm-hmm. And are they numbers? How did the numbers get on your phone? Were they ones that you had, like, was this like your contacts with your Google account, or?
Yeah, I imported them originally to my Google account.
Unfortunately, though, they're staying in your Google account. They're not getting synced where they, like, disappear from your...
Oh, no, they're disappearing from the Google account.
From that, too.
Yeah.
So they're completely going away from all devices and places that they were at.
What are the various devices that you're syncing to this? You have your computer, you have your phone. Are there any other devices out there?
No, that's it. Those are the only two that use that account.
What about work? Do you have a machine at work that you connect with this?
No, I use my laptop for personal stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't use office stuff. I mean, I don't use office hardware for my personal.
You're correct. That is weird.
That is weird.
I know. I mean, it's like, and I'm telling you, dude, I'm not saying this that I'm expecting a resolution because I looked for it, and the first time it happened, I was like, okay, must have been bad crack or something. But, man, looking at it today, I was like, heck. I mean, clearly, the only reason it showed in my history log because it was cached on there. But the minute it refreshed, obviously it lost the name, so there was no more association with that person, with that number and the person's name.
It's odd. It's almost like something has to be synchronizing somewhere to delete
something badly,
yeah, I would
right.
go and try and cut out devices, you know, change the password one more time, move around. And if you've been saying derogatory things about Google Online, stop.
No. I try to avoid it. I look up Google Great, Google Wonderful.
The only time this ever happened
except
to me
from my wife's account, that's when I do my other social
media. The only time anything like this happened to me was with I had an account on Pandora, and I'd hooked it into my iPhone, and I took that iPhone, returned it, and got a different iPhone, and they hooked it into the iPhone device number, and so I was using Pandora, and suddenly like these bands that I hate would show up in my queue of like channels, and I would delete them, and then a week or two later them or some variations would show back up. So I finally contacted Pandora, and actually they said, oh yeah, we cleared out your devices out of Pandora, so it shouldn't happen anymore.
Is this your first smartphone? Have you ever had another smartphone besides this one?
I've had them forever. I'm not going to date myself.
Okay. Well, we are out of time.
I know. Well, if you guys... y'all don't have my email address.
We've got a Geek Gathering.
Fell out of our contacts.
So. We've got a Geek Gathering this Friday, so you could always bring down the phone with the disappearing contacts.
If you guys find anything, post it.
All right.
I'll look you guys up.
And come to the Geek Gathering Friday at Coffee Grounds and bring your
bring the magical
phone.
Yeah.
I might do that.
Do. Right. Information is on the website, geekradio.com. And Yvette and Scott, we're sorry, but we are out of time. We can definitely use your calls next week because we won't have Peter.
Exactly. And we'll be asking for money, too.
So. Does that really start next week? It's not like the third week.
Does. Oh. Yes, it does.
I feel
it's the one with that
not that chain. Well.
Now, Newhouse already
called it. Oh, you called it?
Well.
Oh, yeah, man.
He called the flu.
Okay. That's fine.
And Jay called the flu.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Well, you have been listening to Technology Bites.
Tune in next week.
Tune in next week. Stay tuned after this for Vegan World Radio. I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's Groovehouse.
Doing it for himself.
On May 4th, there will be a benefit concert for breast cancer survivors. Latin pop folk band Barrandua and other Latin composers, singers, songwriters will perform to raise funds for Pink Pilates, a nonprofit group which helps breast cancer survivors with their physical, emotional, and nutritional needs. Casa Argentina, along with the University of St. Thomas, will host the event at that university's Jones Hall on May 4th at 8 p.m. The Night of Artists, including Martin Blito and Jay Simon, will perform original music and some of the greatest songs from Latin folk icon Mercedes Sosa and Facundo Cabral, both who passed recently, but whose music and poetry live on. For tickets, go to CasaArgentina.org. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, KPFT.org.
KPFT has faced hardships over the last few months, with inclement weather dealing this community radio station significant damage. As a result, KPFT is not able to reach everyone who can normally hear our signal. However, that makes those of you listening on air and online much more needed. We need your help to get back to what we do best, great radio. Can you donate towards our transmitter costs or pledge today towards our upcoming friend drive? Independent news, music, and culture in Houston all need KPFT. Where else on the dial can you hear this unique mix of programming? Whether it's artists you've never heard before or interviews you'll always remember, KPFT has something you love and want to keep alive. Visit KPFT.org right now to help KPFT in these trying times. Again, that's KPFT.org. Your financial support helps tremendously. You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT.org, Twitter.com/KPFT, Facebook.com/KPFT Houston.